Hello, St. Andrew's family. It is cold. It is January. we are in the beautiful studios down in Burbank, California, though. It's nice. It's gorgeous out here
right now.
Yeah, Pastor Ethan's holding a surfboard. Just put that down. So thanks for taking a break from those ripping waves out there, dude.
Yeah, shredding it, man.
Shredding it, yeah. But Pastor Matt, it's...
And Pastor Ethan.
And we are back with another episode here of How the Sausage is Made. We didn't even practice
that, man. We didn't.
Okay,
we didn't.
All right.
But right at it.
Things are developing quickly here. We're gonna be pros at this. No time. Man, I enjoyed your sermon last week. We were talking right as we're kind of getting warmed up here. John 1 is a crazy chapter.
It really is. It's so Bible. Loaded. It's so loaded.
It's like there's chapters of Genesis that just cover like, you know, huge chunks of time and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I also love that the fact that in John 1, like it starts up with in the beginning, like goes back to Genesis 1. Mm-hmm. And then like we're up to like John the Baptist is an adult. Jesus is an adult.
Right.
And their ministry's happening. And mm-hmm. he's pointing them elsewhere. There's so much going on, even in the short reading that we had this week. There's so much happening. And I appreciate that you kind of focused in on that transition from Andrew being a disciple of John, then to being a disciple of Jesus. And you were Andrew.
Was
you embodied Andrew this week?
It took some people a few minutes to just get used to me being back to Pastor Ethan again. I was
you had to clarify that.
I was so deep into character.
People were convinced.
Yeah,
yeah. the fact that you held that fish the whole time, that was cool, man. That was right. No. First off, let's just get into some of the basics. First person narrative sermon, they can be very effective. They kind of invite people to just kind of think what it'd be like to talk to that person, stand in front of them. What inspired you to do that this week? And how is it different writing a first person narrative than a typical expository sermon?
Yeah, that's good. I think what inspired me was, I kept telling people that's just where my mind was at. For whatever reason, I was reading through those texts and I just kept thinking about Andrew going from being John's disciple to Jesus' disciple.
Yeah.
I was just like really curious, like what he was experiencing, what was going through his mind and the questions he would have with all that. And it kind of fit where, and I kind of hinted to it where we're not in a necessarily huge, like, well, we're in a few different transition periods right now, you know?
Yeah.
Staffing and with strategic planning and all that stuff. So I thought it kind of fit with our season at St. Andrew's. And just the main differences, I guess you could say, coming at it from a first person, I think you focus on maybe more tangible things, like, or I don't know, I guess just say it like focusing on how would I have felt, I guess. How would I have felt in this situation? And how can I bring those emotions and those questions to life a little bit? And you do it in a way at the seminary. Dr. Schmidt, he taught us the term creedal creativity.
Okay.
So you have the boundaries of the creed.
Yeah.
The boundaries of the truths that are revealed to us in scripture, but you also have room to be creative.
Yeah.
And so, within those boundaries, right?
Yeah.
And so that's where you kind of get to play a little bit, where you're kind of guessing how was Andrew feeling. You know, I don't know for absolute certain, but you're able to use those situations to say, here's an example of someone going through something that maybe you relate to, and how does it reveal to us the heart of God? How does it reveal to us something about God's promises to us in Jesus?
Yeah, and there's just that continuity. I admire the fact that Andrew just listened to John and said, I'll go try to figure out this guy. That John was not so self important that he said, we need to follow me first. No, this is the guy, the Lamb of God, the old Lamb of God, so go follow him. Yeah. And I love how he captured that kind of awkward moment. Like, what do you, how do you do that? Like, I was thinking of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. It was this Ethiopian official, high official in a chariot. And Philip's just walking on the road, and the spirit says, hey, Philip, go run alongside that chariot.
Right.
I'm sure he's like, dude, what am I like, going to start running alongside this guy's chariot awkwardly, trying to keep up, like glancing up every now and then, you know?
You see me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so these guys follow Jesus around, and then I forget the exact phrase Jesus says to him.
Well, yeah, he looks back and says, what are you guys looking for?
Hey, what are you looking for?
Yeah, what are you looking for? And that's just kind of, I was so intrigued by the interaction because there's so much unsaid.
Yeah.
So much left to like our imagination. There's, yeah, it would be very easy to just read through it.
Yeah.
And not even really think twice about it. But
of course,
I think it was worth just kind of slowing down and, meditating on it a little bit more.
Yeah, and you did a great job capturing that. Like, hey, you don't have to have all the answers, right?
Yeah.
You're not gonna have all the answers. I appreciate that. You're not gonna have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And I think so many times, like when I talk to people about, like, hey, St. Andrews, what do you guys believe? What do you guys teach? I'm happy to talk about those things, but after a while, I end up kind of saying to people the same thing. Just, you know what? Just come to church.
Right.
And you might love it. You might not like it. I don't know, but If you come, you're going to start to get a sense of what we're about, what we preach and teach, and we can talk more about it. Let's talk about it, but then just come for a while, and then after that, we'll talk about what all this stuff kind of means in detail. Right. And I don't know, I appreciate that. It seems to be kind of Jesus' approach. There's no way I'm going to tell you everything. Just come and see.
Exactly.
Be part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and you definitely, just through conversations with you, either on the recording last week or off the recording, definitely shaped how I approached the kind of the fundamental part of that sermon, which was the come and see.
Where come and see.
Just kind of hearing your input, sharing some of your wisdom with me really, really affected that sermon actually.
Oh, wow. Thanks for saying that. But no, you put it together. It was beautiful. I mean, I was learning. I was sitting at your feet on set Sunday morning, listening to you. Now, those verses are loaded with stuff. I think we could probably spend the entire month of January and February just preaching on John 1, maybe even just preaching on those verses that you had. So right. What's another direction? What's something you kind of had to leave out that you think is cool that maybe you do in 3 years when it comes up again?
Definitely, like probably the other really thick, juicy theological piece is the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
That I didn't really go into depth on, but whenever John, and I know you love that, whenever John calls Jesus the Lamb of God, that there's so much significance to that that you could spend a lot of time unpacking that.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. I think the thing is that kind of comes up, that phrase just kind of comes up, mm-hmm. I think, in our preaching just throughout the year. I mean, it's just something kind of go back to, like, this sort of starts, you know, to the first thing he says about it would be that this is a lamb, it's a sacrifice, you know. So
right,
man, that's cool. I really enjoyed it and really enjoyed your effort and to sit there and look at Andrew and realize, you know, this is our church namesake. That was very funny. I'm very flattered. You said you know, your name church right. school very flattered.
Well, yeah, it was a fun message to preach. So maybe we'll have to pull out the character sermons.
That'd be awesome. I remember a few years ago, I tried to play. I played Zacchaeus, but then being 6'2", it's a challenge to be 6'2" and be Zacchaeus. Yeah. You know.
Oh man.
It is fun. So, you know, on occasion, it's a wonderful thing to just take a break and sit and teach in a new way. So
right.
Yeah.
Just transitioning a little bit. I want to hear. I feel like we haven't had a chance to fully chat as much as we normally do before recording, where I don't really know where your mind's at right now, getting ready for this weekend. We're starting the Beatitude. Not quite.
We're Matthew 4, before the Beatitudes.
And so can you share us what are your verses and kind of what's the heart of what you're going to be preaching on
this. Yeah, you said you wish you knew where my mind was at, and I wish I knew where my mind was at. I'll be honest with you. There's kind of like three different sections of this reading, and the first section is kind of a prophecy from Isaiah 9 about there's going to be a light that shines on the Gentiles, and it's from Zebulun and Naphtali. There's two tribes, and it's interesting because it mentions like and beyond the Jordan, and it's interesting that, you know, that's another thing we just talked about, Jesus' baptism at Bethany beyond the Jordan. Mm-hmm. So there's all this activity that's prophesied the Messiah is going to be doing in these regions, and sure enough, Zebulun is kind of where Nazareth is. Naphtali is kind of where Capernaum is, which becomes Jesus' kind of main base of operations on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. And so there's that part of it. There's also the calling of Andrew. So Andrew shows up again. Mm-hmm. Andrew and Peter get called by God. They're fishing, and it says immediately they leave their nets. And then he goes to James and John, and immediately they leave their nets. I think the reason why Andrew immediately leaves his net, just kind of tie back to your sermon, I don't know if we'll talk about this on Sunday or not, is, you know, Andrew spent time with Jesus at John the Baptist's behest. He's learning. And so then when Jesus finally comes and says, "You're my guy, you're going to be one of my disciples, I've chosen you," there's nothing in the world's going to stop him, and his brother Peter either. And so these guys, my guess is, have had some contact with Jesus. Mm. They're hoping that Jesus says, "Hey, follow me." And when he does, like, "Yeah, I'm in. Let's do this." You know,
yeah, that's exciting.
And there's that. There's a big, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." We could talk about that. Mm-hmm. I think I want to talk about the continuity of, you know, things get passed on. Jesus is fulfilling the ancient words of Isaiah. When Jesus starts his ministry, he starts by saying the same words that John the Baptist said. And you know how there's this continuity that the faith is kind of passed on. And now it's one of our tasks, joyful tasks, is for us to pass on the gospel.
And
there's a reason why that should be a big part of how we think. You know, we think a lot about how we're going to pass on our inheritance, or how we're going to, you know, pass on items that we really cherish, you know, and who's going to get, who's going to get grandma's favorite clock, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. We talk about those things, but like, There's a point which, though, how am I passing on this gospel?
Yeah, that brings to my mind kind of a culture of individualism versus like congregationalism, or and where we are called into a body. You know, we're made part of a body that isn't just, and I think this kind of gets more to what you're leaning towards. It's not just the people around us, you know, on a Sunday, or that we interact with on a daily basis, but we're connected over time and over space.
Yes.
With, you know, the congregation of the, you know, the saints, right?
Yeah.
And the same message that's being proclaimed clearly through each generation, you know, to the next. And that's what's coming to my mind, is like kind of an opportunity to remind people of in a culture that's very kind of like, Do it your own way, do it at your own pace, do it, you know, kind of very, very individualistic, autonomous.
Yes.
Man, we're called to just be together and to continue the things that the people before us were proclaiming.
Yeah. And I think the perspective is that I call it a chronocentrism. You kind of look at your own time. You don't really look at the other times beyond that have happened before. And I think we have to fight against that and understand that. And I don't mean to be morbid. I don't think it's morbid at all. But one day we'll be gone from here,
right?
But hopefully, they'll, by God's grace, there'll be people sitting in the pews, and there'll be pastors preaching, and there'll be the same word. But it's going to be, that's not going to happen unless we do it now and we prepare for it to happen then,
right,
too. So
yeah,
you know, God uses us right now to we're in that relay race, and we have the baton. And at one point, we're all going to hand it off.
Yeah,
you know, and. Yeah, And we pray that God uses us to hand it off well.
Right.
So,
that's beautiful. Jesus is kind of getting his disciples ready.
Mm-hmm.
He's and the same message, the same hope, the same gospel that the disciples got to live and got to witness, and that they got to proclaim. That's what we get to live and proclaim. Yeah, that's cool.
And Jesus models it. He pulls the baton from John. John goes to prison, right? So, right. so not even John being in prison is going to stop the gospel.
Right.
The cool thing is John's in prison. He's locked up. In his words, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His exact words are still being proclaimed on the world.
Yeah.
And it's like you can't stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool thing. So that's probably what I'm going to focus on, kind of fleshing that out.
Yeah. It sounds like you do have a lot of options, a lot of avenues. Mm-hmm. You said we're at Wednesday. You know, you're at that time where starting to hone in a little bit.
Right now, if I I'd just be a super long sermon right now. So I got to focus it a little more. And you're welcome, St. Andrews. But I got to focus it a little more. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep.
Well, let me pray for us as we wrap up. Just the kind of direction and discernment and wisdom as we approach the coming week. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to carry on the message of your love for us, of your saving sacrifice for us. And just bless Pastor Matt as he lives in that word for the rest of this week, and give him discernment of exactly which avenues to take, that you would guide each step and each thought and each word, ultimately that you would do something beautiful in him and through him for us this weekend, that we would see you more clearly, that we would be reminded of our spot in your family, our spot in your church, our spot in our roles in proclaiming the truth and the message that's being passed on. So just bless us at St. Andrews. Bless Pastor Matt. Continue to unify us and keep us together in our love for one another and ultimately our mission here to just bring you and all of who you are and all your love and your goodness and your promises to as many people as possible. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. See you, St. Andrews.
Bye, guys.